And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Great to see you here this morning. And good morning, listeners. Great to have your company here on 99.1 this morning. Well, lots is happening. We've got, of course, the ongoing challenges of COVID, haven't we? And last week it was Anti-Poverty Week. And of course, do you know what it is this week? It is National Book Week from the 17th to the 23rd of October. And well, after the 11 o'clock news this morning, Cora on Art Journal has a very special guest, Karis McEwen from CBCA. That's the Children's Book Council of Australia, the Victorian president. And they'll be talking all things books. So there you go. There's a new chapter for you after the 11 o'clock news. Wonderful to have your company. Yarra Valley FM relies on your support, and you have an opportunity right now with our amazing Radiothon happening from the 17th to the 30th to become a subscriber here for just $20 or so and to support community radio. And a big shout out to the committee, Darren, Mark, Robert, Jeff, Karen, Greg and David, and all the amazing volunteers that keep community radio alive and well. Absolutely amazing. Well, last month it was actually already, we had the amazing Anita Kuchu from the Eastern Community Legal Centre talking about the support that they provide in terms of legal advice, legal support for people across the valley. And we had such a wonderful response to that, and people were really interested in their ability to get support around legal issues and so on. And so we decided that it would be terrific to have a look at, well, legal issues in relation to money and things. And so on Zoom this morning, from far away, we have the amazing Catherine Boyle. That's no relation to Raylene Boyle, the runner, and no relation to, well, we'll come back to Boyle's Law in a moment. But Catherine, is that a Catherine with a K or a Catherine with a C?
It's Catherine with a K and an E-R-I-N-E.
There you go. So it's no Y, because some of the Catherines these days have got Y's in their name. And, well, you may not have a Y, but we know that you are wise when it comes to things, welfare and finances and that, Catherine. So it's wonderful to have you on air this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And, well, on the other half of my Zoom screen, I have the amazing Leanne Ho, who is the Executive Officer of Economic Justice Australia, EJA, who, under their slogan, describe themselves as being for a fair social security system. Good morning, Leanne. Wonderful to have you on the program as well.
Good morning, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Yes, fantastic. So that's the advantage of Zoom, I guess, is that we can connect from further away. You don't have to come into the studio or something and sit right here. But it's also a bit of a challenge technically, and we've already had one little technical challenge this morning, but nothing that we can't overcome with the amazing Cora's on as producer. So let's talk maybe first. Well, sorry, I made a reference to Boyle's Law a moment ago, and for those of you out there who have a science background, you'll know that that's a basic law of chemistry where the relationship between pressure and volume remains a constant at the same temperature. Or for those of you that are science nerds, PV equals NRT. Catherine, Boyle's Law. Well, there you go. Are you someone that works well under pressure? There you go. There's a segue for you.
Look, I'd say we do. I'd say that our entire centre does. And can you just repeat the concept? Because I feel like it does apply to the way our centre works.
There you go. So it's the relationship between pressure and volume, as in your case, volume of work, I guess, is a constant.
Yeah, I was going to say volume of demand for our service.
There you go. Well, we better hear a little bit about, for those listeners who know nothing at all about Welfare Rights Centre. Of course, it's a specialist community legal centre, isn't it, Catherine? It was established way back in 1983. It's a not-for-profit organisation. Tell us a little bit more about the Welfare Rights Centre, just by way of introduction.
Well, yeah, as you said, we've been around since 1983. We're what you call a specialist community legal centre, and we specialise in social security law and its administration. which in other words is we help people who have a problem with Centrelink. And there are a lot of those people at the moment. A lot of people don't realise that if you got a payment rejection or a debt's been raised against you, that's actually a legal issue and you have rights in relation to that issue. And we provide advice. We also provide representation for people who are going to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal at both levels. And we have a number of clinics for people who are claiming disability support pension and for people who need help with their debts. And, yeah, a lot of people have debts from Centrelink. And, of course, we've advised a lot of people in relation to the scandalous robo-debts.
Yes, I'm going to get you to explain what robo-debts are a bit later. But let's... Before we go to a song, you are also at the moment raising awareness of the changes to Centrelink payments around COVID-19 and all that. And we're going to talk about that as well. Wonderful to have you with us, Catherine. And Leanne, we'll get to you in a moment. But let's kick off with Love or Money.
Have love or money, I'd take you any day. You can't buy what you and I got going anyway. Down, down, come on down, right here where the joy is found. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day. When temptation stares you cold right between the eyes, tell me what would you do? These trials and tribulations, you know, they're as old as time, sent to test the good in me and you. People worship silver, live in cities made of gold, their hearts are unfulfilled. They made their choices, climbing ladders to the top, and brother, they're climbing still. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day. You can't buy what you and I got going anyway. Down, down, come on down, right here where the joy is found. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day. Samson loved Delilah and he gave his strength away the day he lay down in her lap. They cut his hair and left him bare, the Philistines paid. Samson loved her, but Delilah loved the cash. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day. You can't buy what you and I got going anyway. Down, down, come on down, right here where the joy is found. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day. I'd take you any day. You can't buy what you and I got going anyway. Down, down, come on down, right here where the joy is found. Down, down, come on down, right here where the joy is found. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day. You can't buy what you and I got going anyway. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day. If I could have love or money, I'd take you any day.
And thanks for joining us for Community Conversations this morning. Wonderful to have your company here. My two very special guests via Zoom this morning are Catherine Boyle, who's the Executive Director of Welfare Rights Centre, and Leanne Ho, who is the Executive Officer of Economic Justice Australia. Leanne, you were just telling me off air that you'd changed your name last year. So some people who are listening this morning may know Economic Justice Australia by its former name. So perhaps can you join the dots for us there?
Yeah, so We're actually the peak organisation for community legal centres like Catherine's, and we've been around for 30 years and under various names, originally the National Welfare Rights Network and then the National Social Security Rights Network.
Okay.
I'm finding when I answered the phone that most people would say, sorry?
A bit of a mouthful.
It's a bit of a mouthful. And hearing national and security conjures up some different connotations.
Yes, yes. You might even be banned from some forums. You'd be zoomed out or something or other.
But we also wanted people to know that we are about economic justice, that broader concept that social security is a human right. People need income support to live good lives.
Yes, yes. I was on the budget, the pro bono panel last week, talking about the federal budget and just how, you know, basic rights like you're just referring to, Leanne, like homelessness or housing, I should say, like housing and income are such basic things, you know, and yet we still have, according to some figures, you know, one child in eight living in poverty or below, you know, still hungry, you know, in Australia, which is a bit of a sad indictment, isn't it, on our well, supposedly, wealthy country.
Yeah, well, the amazing thing about COVID is that the rate of payments like JobSeeker were increased so much that people were actually lifted out of poverty during that period. And we're really worried what's going to happen when the coronavirus supplement is actually dropped or even done away with.
Yes.
People are going to plunge back into poverty.
Yes, and there have been a couple of excellent reports that have been written. One by Social Ventures Australia that did an analysis of all the charities on the ACNC website, and another one by ACOS that looked at the very thing you're talking about, Leanne, which was this cliff that looms, you know, for so many people looking down, as JobSeeker reduces. Perhaps for those who don't know JobSeeker at all, would you just explain, you know, what JobSeeker is, just in a nutshell, the short version, and you know, what's happening time-wise, you know, when does that change now? Because it has moved a couple of times, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it's been reduced during the height of the virus. It was effectively doubled, so the old New Start payment was around $40 a day. And as a coronavirus support measure, this supplement was introduced that effectively doubled that. And it's now due to completely finish on New Year's Eve.
Ouch.
So you have all these people, you know, with their Christmases, looking forward to actually having their support halved.
Yes.
Not knowing on New Year's Day what is actually going to happen.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening who may not be familiar at all with JobSeeker, try living on $40 a day, which includes your rent, your food, your travel costs and everything else. I think it's self-evident, Leanne, isn't it, that it's just not enough?
Yeah, well, AngleCare do a housing snapshot each year, and there's like 2% of housing that's affordable for people on that low rate.
Wow. Yeah, that's scary. Doesn't bear thinking about. Let's go back to you, Catherine, just for a moment. What are you seeing as the, shall we say, the biggest presenting issues at Welfare Rights Centre? What are the reasons that people ring in for or make contact or engage you and your amazing team for? What are the things that present that cause them to make contact?
Well, it's a range of different things, and I think I would have given a different answer pre-COVID, and it's changed over COVID.
Yes.
So, I mean, generally, of course, there are people who are struggling with Centrelink's processes, trying to navigate them, complete the forms, work out what's needed of them. We always receive calls like that. And prior to COVID, I would say about 40% of calls were related to Centrelink debts.
Right.
But during COVID, debt recovery was paused. So debt notices weren't being sent out to people. So we actually saw a drop-off in those kinds of calls. But what we did see, and this is particularly disturbing, is that a group of people who were not covered by the COVID changes are people who are subject to what's called a compensation preclusion period. In other words, they received compensation for an injury at some time in the past, and that because of receiving those funds, they're actually precluded from receiving a Centrelink payment for a period of time. But often those amounts are not adequate to last that entire period. Things happen in people's lives, the money's spent.
Yes, you only have to have one episode come up, you know, an unexpected medical bill, for example.
Yeah, there can be many reasons that that's exhausted. And so we've always had those kinds of clients. But what's happened during COVID is because jobs have been drying up, these people who have run out of the money have got by on bits and pieces of casual work or have relied on family members who were working but then lost their jobs due to COVID. So suddenly this group of people need access to a Centrelink payment and they're precluded. I advised someone the other day who was precluded until 2075.
I hope they're only 5 years old or something. No, I'm being cheeky there. But no, seriously, that is embarrassing.
So they're very, very, very long periods of time and no change is made for those people. And they're very desperate usually. And they're people who have, you know, clearly at some point in their life they've been injured.
Yes,
that's why they have the compensation. And there's a lot of issues that flow from that. So we've been getting about two calls a week in relation to that since the beginning of COVID. And that's doubled the number of calls we get. So, yeah, it's been a big issue. But, you know, other people are contacting us about, for example, that their payment has been cancelled because, I mean, this is pre-COVID.
Yes.
It's beginning to be introduced, but because they failed to meet mutual obligations, or at least it's claimed that they did.
Wow.
So it's quite varied what we do. Yeah.
We're very grateful that that you are there, you and your team, to help people navigate what is often a very confusing system. Of course, you're listening to Catherine Boyle, who's the Executive Director of Welfare Rights Centre, and Leanne Ho, who is the Executive Officer of Economic Justice Australia. We're going to be right back and we're going to take up on some of those issues and some of those challenges and look forward to it. Here's one of my favourites. Let's see if ABBA can say anything about money.
Money, 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 must be funny in the rich man's world.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations. I'm holding the local paper in my hand, and the headline is, we're COVID-free. That is, the Shire of Yarra Ranges is COVID-free. Zero active cases, which is absolutely fantastic. And as I flick through the paper, there's two amazing stories there. One from the not-for-profit Holy Fools, based in Lilydale, that are delivering meals and are challenged by the issues that relate to family breakdown, family issues brought about by family stress, by financial stress, employment stress and illness, and also drugs and alcohol and family violence. So they're doing a terrific job, Neil and his team there at Holy Fools. And My Little Kitchen and Healesville Interchurch Community Care, Hickey, are doing a fantastic job of, well, delivering meals for people who need them in the community. So there's some terrific things happening in these very challenging COVID times. But on air this morning on Zoom, I have Catherine and Leanne. And, well, Leanne is the Executive Officer for Economic Justice Australia. For those listeners who may not have heard of that, how does that work, Leanne? I mean, are you just one group, or have you got different outlets around Australia? Explain how that works for us.
Yeah, so we've got member community legal centres like the Welfare Rights Centre that Catherine works at. We have those centres in every state and territory in Australia. So people who need help with a Centrelink issue can contact any of our centres in their local area. And on our website, we actually have a legal help section with a map that shows you where all our centres are located. What we do is try to take the casework insights from all of our centres to look for systemic issues that we can lobby for reform from government to improve the social security system,
fantastic,
especially for the most disadvantaged people in our community.
Yeah, that is terrific. And I'm assuming put together resources and tips and guidance and advocacy and all of that, Leanne.
Absolutely. So we've got a range of fact sheets on our website as well, so people can get more information about the situation that they're facing, whether that's debts or compensation preclusion periods, which is what Catherine was just talking about, whether that's robo-debts, whether it's assets tests. We've got a whole range of fact sheets there that people can refer to.
Fantastic. And for those of you who want to follow up on that, if you just go to EJ for Economic Justice, ejaustralia.org.au, and it's very easy for you to navigate there and to make a connection and get some support. That's absolutely fantastic. Since you've just mentioned it, Leanne, let's go to you, Catherine, and I want you to try, because I've never had anyone that can actually explain it to me in terms that I can understand. What is this robo-debt that we keep hearing about? This might be the tricky one to give you... In 60 seconds, see if you can describe robo-debt for us and what you guys are doing about it.
Well, robo-debt is a mechanism used by Services Australia, Centrelink, to calculate a person's income. So they take a person's income that they reported to the Australian Tax Office, they divide it by 26 and get a fortnightly income, then they compare it to what you reported in that particular fortnight, and if you reported less than that fortnightly amount they'd calculated, then they say the difference is a debt, and they add it up across the 26 fortnights and go, here's your debt. Now, of course, a lot of people don't earn the same each fortnight. Sometimes they earn a lot, sometimes they earn nothing. So in a particular fortnight, they might not have reported anything to Centrelink because they didn't earn anything, but under the average system, they've had assigned to that fortnight a particular amount which they allegedly didn't report.
Right, right.
So that's why it's wrong. So they're not going to people's payslips and seeing what they actually earned. They're just using this average system. Now, that has been found to be unlawful. So no one is being issued with any robo-debts anymore, although there is still court action around aspects of this. And perhaps Leanne can speak to that more, but there should be no more robo-debts. But it's only debts that were calculated using this very faulty method are robo debts.
Wow, you did it! I actually understand that, Catherine. Well done, Catherine with a K. Leanne, what can people do about it if they do have a robo debt? What are the steps they should take apart from contacting, you know, one of the specialist centres? What would they do?
Well, thanks to this federal court decision, the government did admit that it was completely wrong and has automatically worked out who has got a robo debt and is refunding, or should have by now almost refunded
okay.
the money to everyone who's owed it. But if people still have concerns, they can certainly contact one of our member centres around the country to look at why they haven't been refunded. There's still action going on. There's a class action, not just looking at the illegality of robo-debt, but whether people have been harmed by it and whether there should be some kind of damages.
Right, or compensation or something.
Yeah, exactly. And further than that, there's actually a Senate inquiry going on at the moment that we've done a submission to, just looking at automation in general and how there needs to be more oversight of these kinds of decisions, that it can't just be left to an algorithm without sufficient human intervention
right.
to make sure that the correct decisions are being made.
Yes, and perhaps at times, and no offence to anyone who's working in Centrelink listening to our program this morning, because we know there's some amazing and wonderful people in there, but sometimes people do feel in their dealings with this huge Centrelink entity, don't they? They feel like, you know, it is a bit of a machine or something or other, that they can't really have a conversation or something. Is that a common feeling?
Well, I'm glad you raised that, Bruce, because just yesterday the news came through that 600 Centrelink call centre staff were going to be sacked.
Ouch.
And yeah, at a time when there's more people than ever needing those services. So we're really concerned about the impact that's going to have on really vulnerable job seekers and other people on payments. And, you know, Catherine will go through this in more detail, but you know, it's at a time when people have all different kinds of problems with Centrelink that are only going to increase as, you know, the job seeker rate is reduced, that waiting periods are going to be reintroduced after being suspended, all these people with debts.
And people feeling you know, powerless and even more disadvantaged, more marginalised than what they might have felt before. You were listening then, of course, to Leanne Ho, who is the Executive Officer of Economic Justice Australia. You can go to their website, ejaustralia.org.au, for more information. And they are a not-for-profit body. They're a peak body for all the amazing centres across Australia. And also on the Zoom line this morning is Catherine Boyle, who is the Executive Director of Welfare Rights Centre, another not-for-profit. All the services that you are hearing about this morning are available at no cost to you, and so you can make contact, get support, get help without it costing you anything at all. Let's have another song. I think it's the Rolling Stones, and wow, money, that's what I want. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah!
You're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 in the midst of our Radiothon from the 17th to the 30th of October. You can become a subscriber. Just go on our website and for $20 or so, you can support community radio. What could be better than that? We're talking this morning with Catherine and Leanne, and well, we're just so appreciative to both of you for helping us navigate some of the challenges of Centrelink and, well, welfare rights and individual rights and rights to reasonable income and all of that. And Catherine, I'm thinking that you and your amazing team at Welfare Rights Centre, you must be having people that are just at the end of their tether, you know, just beside themselves, frustrated, perhaps feeling guilty, a bit of shame that you know, they're having to even contact you. Are they common feelings as people make contact with you?
Yeah, look, I've worked in a number of different community legal centres over a number of years, and I have to say the clients that contact us at Welfare Rights Centre are particularly distressed, more distressed than clients that contact other CLCs about other issues.
Yes.
And I think it has something to do with a combination of people's livelihoods being under threat. I mean, so that's an existential threat. But I also think it's because of the level of confusion about what on earth is going on with their payment. So someone's been in a car accident and they need legal advice about that. It's very easy for them to describe. Any of us can describe what happened.
Yes.
But if you've got a debt or your payment claim has been rejected, you really have no idea why. You're only guessing at it. So, yeah, we do find that people are really distressed. I mean, fortunately, you know, our staff are, you know, highly skilled and trained in social security law and, of course, come to these issues with a lot of compassion. So, you know, we're really welcome and, of course, no judgment from us. You know, we're there to help people enforce their rights.
Yes, yeah, so no judgment. And for those of you who might have missed the last section, no fees, no cost either. Well, Catherine, what about just taking us through the process, demystify for us a little bit. What would be the process when someone would reach out to you and make contact?
So people can contact us over our advice line, which operates on Mondays and Wednesdays in the morning.
Yes.
And we have dedicated volunteers who will take the call and we'll work out, you know, should we be providing you with some information? Is it something that we can help you with on the spot? Or is it more complex? Do we need to call you back at a later time and give you comprehensive advice? And also, is this something where you're going to need representation in an appeal to internal appeals with Centrelink or an external appeal to the Administrative Appeals Tribunal? So it starts with a phone call, although people can actually contact us anytime through our website inquiry page.
Yes.
And an email will be sent to us and we will contact within a couple of days. So there's really no
Terrific.
Limit on when you can contact us, because you can contact us then.
Yes. So they make contact. You've got one of your amazing team working with them. What usually happens after that?
So if it's advice, like often we'll ask people if they can to send in documents, because people are confused. They might have received some correspondence from Centrelink. They don't understand it. So often we have people taking photos with their smartphones
yes.
of their debt notice or whatever letter they've got.
Yes.
And they're sending it through to us and then we have a read of it and then we can provide advice. So, you know, we're providing advice explaining what's happened. So actually just describing, this is what's happened with your payment. This is why it's happened. And then what are your rights in relation to this? You know, that you can appeal. There is an appeal system. What evidence they might need to gather. And also if we think that this person needs particular assistance, we'll make a decision about whether we can provide ongoing representation to this person in their matter with Centrelink.
Fantastic.
So it's like any other legal service in that respect.
So you're helping people navigate this system that they don't really understand how it works or what their rights are, or, you know, just putting the pieces together, explaining for them what their rights are, Catherine.
Yeah, and look, I have to say, I hear this from clients so many times, is just the fact of explaining the situation to someone is of huge benefit. So even before we get to that, you can do X, Y, Z about your problem, it's just saying, this is what's actually happening. And they're going, oh, we had no idea that that's what the problem was, that this is what the problem was. No one's ever explained it to us like the way you've explained it to us. So I think that in itself is of enormous benefit, let alone all the other work we do to get people on payment or get unfair debts waived.
Fantastic. An open question to either yourself or you, Leanne. Does it work? Do people, do they come out the other end with the entitlements they have? Are you able to help? Are you able to assist? What's the outcome of your intervention?
Oh, it's great that you asked that, Bruce, because I actually was just analysing this yesterday, and I was actually saw that we've seen from last year to this year a 40% increase in the number of people that we've able to get a favourable decision for.
Wow.
At the first instance. So that's getting people on payment.
Wow,
so
wow,
from
wow.
From one year to the next, yeah. And also increases all the way along through the appeals system of people who had a negative impact from their Centrelink decision now having a favourable outcome in whatever the problem area is.
That is, that is terrific. That is terrific, Catherine. Well done to you, your team, and to all the other welfare rights centres that are located in every state around Australia. I'm sure they're doing terrific work as well.
The percentage is actually the same and has been for a long time, that decisions are changed because of this intervention from our member centres. But I would like to just tell people to be a bit patient when contacting our centres, because the demand is just huge and growing, but our resources aren't
huge
or growing.
Yes.
So it may take a little while to get through on the phone lines or to get a call back.
Yes.
But
Leanne, would it be true to say that don't panic, because if entitlements are there, they would be backdated anyway. Would that be right?
Yes, in some cases.
Oh, some cases.
You do need to actually make your intention to claim a payment for it to be backdated.
Okay.
It can't be backdated if you haven't actually made a claim with Centrelink.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll explore that a little bit more. We've got to go and hear from the Beatles, because they've got something to say about money. So let's go money, Beatles, and then we'll come back and let's revisit that. Thanks, Leanne.
That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want.
it's been fantastic to have you, Catherine, and you, Leanne, on our program this morning explaining the vagaries and the challenges of, well, supporting people through their rights and accessing money through Centrelink in particular. We are almost out of time, hard to believe. I'm just wondering, perhaps you first, Catherine, what can people do while they're waiting at the moment or in their first interaction? What are the things they should do to maximise your ability to support and help them?
Well, I think the most important thing would be to get their Centrelink letters together, make sure that, you know, anything recent they've received, take a photo of it, email it to us, then we can have a look at it before we see them. They can also take a look at EJA's website, have a look at the fact sheets, which might be relevant to their situation, which gives them a bit more information about their problem. And, of course, that makes it a whole lot easier for us when we're advising, because people have already got a little bit of understanding and then we can really take them through what they can do about their problem. So
we're going to cut you off there. Catherine.
I talk too much.
No, that is absolutely fantastic. And we're going to give the final word to you, Leanne, as the Executive Officer of EJA, Economic Justice Australia. A final comment from you?
We're just working really hard at the moment to make sure that the most vulnerable people in our society have got the income support they need. So we'd really like to see an announcement before New Year's Eve of an increase to the rate of JobSeeker and other payments, and especially support for people who didn't get any benefit from the coronavirus support measures, temporary visa holders, particularly refugees and asylum seekers who currently don't get anything and, if anything, got a cut in their support.
Well, thank you so much, Leanne and Catherine. We are out of time, but for those of you who may want to reflect on what was said this morning or only caught part of it, it will be podcast. It'll be on our website very shortly, so you can revisit it there. Thank you for being a part of the conversation this morning, everyone, and we'll be back the same time with the amazing Megan Buntine next Thursday morning. So look forward to your company then. Catherine and Leanne, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.